Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. Today I'm going to be talking about welfare because there's been a controversy over the last week over the attempts to remove junk food from the list of items you can buy with food stamps. So, buckle your seatbelts, let's get started. So, my thoughts on this are pretty simple, that the official name of food stamps is SNAP. SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. So if the thing you're trying to use that money for has absolutely no nutritional value, then there's literally no reason why you should be able to use the money that's supposed to help with nutrition to buy things that do not provide any nutritional value. I mean, I know this is going to be taking the point to an absurd extreme, but you wouldn't be able to buy a vacuum cleaner with food stamps because a vacuum cleaner provides no nutritional value. So then why should you be able to buy gummy bears with food stamps? Because they don't really provide any nutritional value either. I made the point purposely over extreme to prove the point, which is that if the thing you're trying to buy has no nutritional value, then it makes no sense to use the nutrition program to buy it. I don't think we should have federal government provided safety net programs like this, because you know I've said before that the federal government is extremely bloated and inefficient, and that centralization leads to a lot of problems, and that sometimes you have people that get on these programs that don't actually need to be, while people who actually would need the relief can't get on the program. And part of that is because of the absurdly specific requirements that are set forth, and people finding ways to game the system to get on that don't need to be. We can talk about how the asset limits that are in place for some of these programs, such as SSI, are so ridiculously low that they essentially keep you in poverty, even though the stated goal of the program is to get you back on your feet. That people who get on this program ostensibly to get back on their feet, if that's really what they want to do, which I'm sure is the case for at least a good-sized portion of these people, they end up just being kept in poverty because, you know, if they have even just a little bit too much over the limit, then they get kicked off of it, even though they may not be fully back on their feet yet. And so we could definitely talk about that, but today I'm mainly just focusing on food stamps specifically. So, you know, there are people out there who are saying, well, the people who are on these programs should be able to buy a treat every so often. And yes, they should. That's not what's being banned here. If you're on food stamps, it's not like you can never buy a Dr. Pepper again. You just need to use your own money for that. Because if I had to guess, I am pretty darn sure that everybody who is on food stamps, yes, they're not well off unless they're perpetrating fraud, and most of them are genuinely not well off. However, they have to have some other source of money coming in. Otherwise, how are they paying their rent? How are they buying clothes? How are they, if they have a car, how are they filling up their car? And if they're using public transit, how are they paying for that? They have to have something else coming in. So, if that is the case, then they surely have some other source of $2 or $3 they could use to buy that thing that they want. And you know how I don't think that the government, especially the federal government, should create these programs. However, even if we're putting the government aside for a second, if you're getting money for food from a person, a family member, or a person in your community, or a group that is set up in your community to help people that are in need. If you're getting money from groups and people like that, they also have a right to, within reason, set stipulations on what you can and cannot use that money for, because you're getting money from a program that is specifically to help you buy food. So, obviously, we would all agree that it'd be overboard for them to say you can only buy milk and beans and that's it. However, comma, if they say you can only buy healthy food, well, that's reasonable because you're relying on them to buy your food. It's not like a paycheck where you get this much money and there's no specific purpose you're given for what you can use the money for. I mean, obviously there are things we can't buy because they're illegal, but like aside from that, anything that's legal, which here in America is a very broad range of things you can buy with your paycheck, because for one, you earned that money, and two, there's no specific, it's not like you were given the paycheck and they said you can only use this for food. Like, there's no stipulation set on it already from the people that gave it to you. And obviously we would agree that if they did, that would maybe be a bit excessive since you earned that, if we're talking about a paycheck. But if you are just depending on somebody else to give you money, then within reason, they have a right to set some stipulations of what you can and cannot use it for. And there are already things you can't buy on food stamps. Like, not even just talking about the deliberately satirical vacuum cleaner example. Like, there are actually food items you cannot buy on food stamps already. So, it's not like this is a new development of, it's not like this is the first time anybody has ever set limits when it comes to food items that you cannot buy on food stamps. Like, that has been a thing before. So, it's not like this is new development. Even if it was, all of my opinions would still be about the same, but it's not a new development. So calm down. And, you know, there are people out there who are also saying, well, you can't buy health supplements on food stamps. Yeah, that's because health supplements are not food. They're medicine. It's not called medicine stamps. It's called food stamps. If we're going to allow people to buy health supplements on food stamps, then we'd also have to allow people to buy their prescriptions, their over-the-counter anti-itch cream, their toothpaste. Well, maybe not toothpaste. Maybe. You could maybe make an argument that toothpaste is medicine because it does help take care of your teeth. We're not going to get into those weeds today. But the point is, if people were going to be allowed to buy health supplements on food stamps, they'd also have to be allowed to buy every other medicine that they need or want on food stamps. So then you would essentially be completely, like, over broadening the purpose of the program. And I think, too, that some of this controversy is stemming from a rampant sense of entitlement that exists in our society today. People think the world owes them something. They think they should be able to get whatever they want and do whatever they want. We could talk about what are the root causes of that later, but I think that's a symptom of a larger problem. I also saw, this is not exactly related to food stamps, but I just saw a headline for an article in my Google News feed said that the Make America Healthy Again stuff will make groceries unaffordable for many people. And I can see that, you know, that being a concern. You know, you want people to be able to afford groceries, obviously. Everybody wants that. But maybe instead of blaming the people who are trying to make food healthy and make our country healthy, Maybe instead we should see this as an indictment of the companies that produce all this ultra processed stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like some of this junk food. Doesn't mean it's good for me. And I have always wondered why it is that the ultra processed junk food you can get at the store is so much cheaper than healthy food, you know. Even not even just the grocery store, you know, you go out to eat and like a salad is twice as much as a cheeseburger, you know. It's like, I don't understand exactly why that is the case, but maybe that's something you should look into rather than attacking the people who are trying to reverse the trend of childhood obesity, chronic diseases being on the rise, and so on. And so that's my thoughts on that. Also, on the other side of that coin, though, I never understood the people who would argue whenever Michelle Obama destroyed school lunches. They would say, "Well, the people who are relying solely on school lunches, they need they need less calories." But if they're relying entirely on school lunches for all their nutritional needs, which I mean, I guess that is true. More calories doesn't always mean more nutrition. But then, wouldn't you want them to have more calories because they're burning their children? They're growing. They're burning a lot of calories as it is, especially young children. So wouldn't you want them to have more calories rather than less if they are indeed relying entirely on school lunches, which I'm sure happens, but I'm not sure exactly how common it is because I'm sure that most kids are getting at least something at home. Now, are they getting enough food at home? That may or may not always be the case. Actually, we know it's not because there are kids who go to bed hungry, but like, the amount of kids who solely rely on school lunches and nothing else for all of their food is a rather small percentage of the population. So those are my thoughts on that. I also think that to help bring home the point that if somebody is giving you money for something, they have... Somebody's giving you money, you're not earning it, they're giving it to you, then they have a right to set reasonable stipulations rather on what you can use it for. To help bring that point home, imagine it like this. I'm sure most of you who can drive probably had at least a brief window when you didn't have a car, if you ever did have a car. Like when you were in high school, when you first could drive, I'm sure many of you did not have your own car yet. And I'm sure, I know there are people who can drive, but still don't have a car. But like for those who do have a car now, I'm sure when you had to use your parents' car, they set stipulations. They set restrictions on where you could go, how far you could go, who you could have in the car, what you could have in the car, who you could be with, what time you had to be home, what time you could go. There was probably different times based on whether it was a weekend or a school night. You probably had to pay for at least some of the gas, especially if you had a job, and so on. So, you know, they set those stipulations because it was not your car. It was their car. You were borrowing it, or they were giving it to you, especially if you were borrowing it for a specific purpose. If you were borrowing it to go to work or to go to school, or to, you know, to go to church, whatever it may have been. So that means that they set those stipulations, and as long as they were reasonable, they had the right to do that. And we could talk at a different point about how, like, what constitutes reasonable and what does not, because that can vary from household to household and from person to person and from case to case. But leaving all that aside, it's kind of the same thing here. It's the taxpayers' money. You're being given that money to buy food, because remember, I did mention SSI and whatnot, but today we're mainly focusing on the SNAP program. So, because they're giving you that money to buy food, that's like a card, they give it you a card to buy food, then they have the right to set stipulations on what you can and cannot buy with that card, because that's not your money, that's our money. That the government took from us without asking us. They just, they withhold a certain amount of your paycheck, and they, for taxes. So it's not like we got a choice. And that's the other thing, is if a city or a state decided that they wanted to have a program like this, you know, a program that gives residents money to buy food or to pay rent or whatever it may be. If a state or a city decided to do that, I obviously would not vote for that if I lived in that jurisdiction. I wouldn't agree with it. However, if the people of that area went to the ballot box and voted for it, then I could at least say that, one, they got what they voted for, and two, most of them either didn't do their research, in which case that's their own fault, because we should definitely talk about the problem, the rampant problem of people who go to the ballot box after doing no research before they go to vote. Or if they did do their research and they decided that this is genuinely what they want, then they probably had good intentions. Now, good intentions can lead to misguided results, obviously. Good intentions don't always guarantee good results. But at least if somebody means well, rather than, you know, has malice or doesn't care or whatever, then I can at least respect that that person means well, that they have good intentions. So, but that's the problem, is nobody voted for these programs, really. I mean, yes, we elected the Congress people that voted to pass these. But I've said before that our representatives usually only represent us in theory, because they have other voices. Not only do they have other voices whispering in their ears, but a lot of times those other voices are not whispering. They're shouting and drowning us out. Whether it's party leadership or lobbyists, or people who are not party leadership but are other members of the House or the Senate, or, you know, people in the opposing party who are members of the House and Senate, or interest groups. So our Congress people, they cannot always be said to have good intentions when they vote for stuff that if people voted for it, you could say maybe had good intentions, because politicians, their main goal, for the most part, is to stay in power or to advance in their career. So, you know, if they're a congressman, they might then want to become governor or president or senator. So they have other things on their minds, especially when it is an election year. I don't know if this program was created in an election year. I'd have to look into that, but that is a thing to consider. And while I understand that we live in a country that for many, many reasons could never be a direct democracy, it would be impractical, and it would also go against the system that was set forth in the Constitution, I also understand that, you know, the Founding Fathers, when they wrote the Constitution, they did not envision a vast welfare state. They wanted Congress to make laws. But I think there comes a certain point where it's like, that's not the government's job. And here, you know, yes, we should feed the hungry. But that should be the job of churches and family members and community organizations and people in the community and charities. That should not be the federal government's job. I wouldn't even think it should be the state or local government's job, really, but if they wanted to do that, and again, if the people voted for it, then at the end of the day, that would be, you know, that'd be their decision. And especially if I don't live there, then I can't, I mean, I can comment on it. I often do comment on how other states do things. However, there wouldn't be much more that I could do. So therefore, I wouldn't lose too much sleep over it, especially if it is something like a food assistance program and not something like killing unborn babies. Killing unborn babies is one of the few things that, you know, I object to, no matter if it is a state doing it or a federal government or anything else. So, with all of that said, my thoughts on this controversy are simple, that to recap, if you are trying to use a program that was designed to provide nutritional assistance, to buy things that have literally no nutritional value, then, you know, that shouldn't happen. You shouldn't do that. So if they want to ban you from buying things that have no nutritional value with the nutrition program, then what are you complaining about? I don't think we should have these sorts of giant federal government programs, but if we're going to, then it only makes sense to want to make sure that the money's actually going to what it's being used or what it was meant to be used for. So, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode or considered it to be food for thought. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, the RSS feed, iHeartRadio, and Pandora. If my voice sounds a little bit off, it's because my sinuses have been acting up because it's spring and all that stuff's in the air. Don't worry, I'm not getting sick again like last month. That was not fun. I hope you'll come back next time and pass this along to somebody that might be interested in the types of things that I talk about on here. And thank you so much. Have a blessed day. You can also contact me on my Facebook page at Jesse's Fireside Chats and on X at JFSC Pod, or you can send me an email at jessiesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's JESSEAS firesidechats@gmail.com. And again, I hope you have a blessed day.